Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs. Bella. Tripod Superdogs was inspired by photographer Sarah Loveland's own three-legged dog, Ruby. I'm Julie Hill. Zoe told me about her beloved tripod Labrador, Bella.
She's so chilled and very laid-back dog. She's no bother. Like, you wouldn't even know you've got it, to be honest. So she's great company.
Yeah. Oh, Labradors are. They're just... Well, all dogs are, but obviously I have a soft spot for Labradors, but they're just, they're always there and ready to do what you want to do. And we used to call Buddy the dog of requirement, you know, because he always, whatever you wanted to do, yeah, he was up for that. He would do that.
Yeah, she's just, she's like, she will, like, if you tell her, obviously, we're going out or whatever, she gets really excited, or if it's at dinner or whatever, like, but generally, like, I mean, before the amputation, because I work from home, I literally just work upstairs. So she'd come and sit upstairs with me every day and she would just sit underneath, you know, my desk, whatever. So now I have to, like, I carry her upstairs every day, up and down, just so she can still, because if, like, if I don't take her upstairs, she sits at the bottom of the stairs and cries.
Oh, bless her.
She wants to be upstairs with me, so she has to get carried up now.
Oh, bless her. Yeah. And but that's lovely that you do that, that, you know, because, I mean, they're not small dogs, are they? It's great you can leave your arm workout that day.
Yeah, I can. Like, she's starting to, like, give me, like, backache, but I'm not bothered. Yeah, she's, like, 30 kilos, but... She gets lifted out in the car anytime we go to the beach or anywhere for a walk. She has to, you know, I have to lift her in the car, so I'm used to it now.
Excellent. Oh, I'm glad she still gets to do that, you know, the things she loves and she gets to be with you. Because that's, you know, for most dogs, but certainly for Labradors, I, you know, they want to be with you. They just want to be whatever you're doing, even if that's something boring, like sitting at your desk, boring from the dog's point of view. They want to be with you, don't they?
Yeah. She's just quite happy as long as she's in my presence wherever I am. She's just quite happy. Bless her.
lovely. So how did she become a tripod?
She's got osteosarcoma. She's got bone cancer, basically. So her back left leg is the one that was taken off about 3 months ago now. So it started off, I was on holiday in March time, because not long before that, I lost my mum quite suddenly as well.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. So I just kind of needed a little bit of a break. So my husband stayed at home, bless him, and I went away with my friend. And she had, like, quite a bad limp. And he sent me a video and I thought, but it was when it was quite cold here. And I thought maybe it should, you know, it was a bit of arthritis. And he took her to the vet. He said, it's fine. Just give her some painkillers. Give her a couple of days. And I was back home. And she still wasn't right. And they felt her knee. And she said, I'm pretty sure it's arthritis. So they like, treated her with different painkillers for a few weeks. And she just wasn't. She was getting worse. And I knew there was something wrong. I didn't think it was cancer. I thought maybe it was something neurological or, like, you know, in her spine or something. Because she started to, like... knuckle over, like, put her, you know, she wasn't putting her foot down, it was going over like that. And just, we had a scan and it turned out it was cancer, unfortunately.
And that word turns your world upside down, doesn't it? It's just like, oh my goodness, everything stops and you go, oh, it's just, it is a lightning bolt, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think especially this is only about 3 months after losing my mom, and I just thought, because she's still get upset.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I haven't got any children. Like, she is, like, you know, like,
Yeah.
I love her very deeply, very much.
But I think you are, though. I mean, I don't, when I refer to myself as mum to our dogs or grandma to my daughter's dog, but I think you are, in a very real way, their parent, you know, not in a silly, fluffy way. You deal, you know, you supply all those needs that you do for a child.
And
I think that's natural. And the dog does hit that part of your heart where your children live, you know? It's not in a silly way, in a very real, protective, looking out for them, supplying all those needs. That's the part of your heart where they sit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. I mean, like, I've had her from being 8 weeks old, so... I mean, she was a family dog first, like, before I bought this house. You know, we lived in my mum and dad's house, but she kind of just, you know, came with me. So she had a diagnosis, and then about, I think that was on the Wednesday, and then the following Tuesday or Monday, I can't remember which, I think it was the Tuesday, she had the amputation. Because I took a day off sort of thing about it. And then I just wanted to have a weekend.
Yes, yeah. I was going to say, how big a decision was that for you? I mean, were the alternatives like amputation or put to sleep? I mean, what did the vets...
It was either... well, the vet reckoned if we didn't take the leg off, she would have had a matter of weeks. So they said either kind of, you know, take her leg off. You know, it's roughly around about 6 months she might have, because it will kill her. It's not curable. So they said around about 6 months if you take the leg off, or around about 12 months if you take the leg off and do chemo. So she is having chemotherapy as well. Just to try and give her the best possible chance of living a, you know, a longer,
absolutely
free life, really. So
it's a personal decision for everybody, for them and for the dog. But I always err on the side of, you know, while there's a will, there's a way kind of thing. While there's life, while the dog's happy, you know, I think that I will fight for them and I'll give them every chance possible. And I absolutely acknowledge it depends on the dog and what the dog loves doing. But I would think it's always worth giving the dog a chance, you know, to see.
If they, in this instance,
how do they cope with life as a tripod? And if they do, which hopefully and probably they will, let's go for it. Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Yeah. Bless them. So, I mean, it is a big, putting a dog through any operation is a big decision, isn't it? There's so many things to consider. So how did she then come through that? How did she adapt?
She didn't even stay overnight. So she went in on the Tuesday or the Wednesday, about 9 o'clock, and then we brought her home about 6:30 the same day.
Wow.
The first week or two was really difficult. Like, the first day, like, when I brought her home on the night time, she was still, you know,
groggy
and a lot of drugs. She didn't really know what, like, she could barely walk, bless her. But that was really difficult, seeing her like that. And then kind of, you know, the next following days trying to move, because she obviously didn't realise, you know, she's still now, she'll go to, like, itch, you know, to lift her leg up to itch her ear, and obviously there's no leg there. But she did really well, to be fair. So by the end of the next day, so like the first day when she woke up, she'd kind of, because we bought like a sling, you know, like for her back, trying to try and help her up.
To support, take the weight at the back, yeah.
And she just didn't like that at all. So, because I was trying with her and she just was like sitting herself down, because I think she just must have felt really unsteady. And we've got kind of like a small back garden, then a front garden with like a, you know, like the side of the house she can walk between. So just had all the gates and everything open, and I just kind of left her, and she just of her own accord kind of got up and she walked like around.
Wow.
She didn't obviously do it very fast. So like by the end of the first day, she'd walked. She'd eaten. She'd done a wee, which, because I was really worried about, you know, how she was going to go to the toilet. And she just kind of. And then obviously it took a while. It was all like, I mean, I'd literally slept down here on the floor with her for the first week, brought the mattress down every night and slept with her just to, because obviously she wasn't, a wound was just like stapled with the spray on. So just to make sure that she was all right during the night and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, it's mad to think of where she was to where she is now. Because the first couple of weeks I did feel really, I thought for a few days, I thought, why have I, you know, what have I done? Why have I done this?
No, it's really, really intense. It's, you know, immediately post surgery, the first 24 hours, first 48 hours, first week, first 2 weeks, it's so intense, and they can be really miserable at times. And you're really miserable. And it is, it's a really tough time, isn't it?
Yeah, it was odd, but then she would just do little things, and then it was also so rewarding. Like I said, when the first time when she went to the toilet, I was like, oh, I cried my eyes out. I was so proud. I'm thinking, well, how is she going to do this? How is she going to cope? She didn't even fall. She's not even, she's just tripped a couple of times, but she's not even fell over or, you know, like, because she's very aware of her own limitations and stuff. Like,
yeah,
at first she didn't like coming in the back because we've had to just put like, I've just put kind of underlay on the whole house is carpeted apart from the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which I've just kind of put some underlay down for now just to kind of see how she goes. But apart from that, she's just kind of, I wouldn't say she's back to normal because obviously she's not normal. Well, you know, she's got three legs now.
Yeah.
A new normal. But she gets tired a lot easier. So she can't go, because even for being nearly 12, she used to walk for miles, would be out for like 5, 6, 7 hours. Like,
yeah.
And she can't do that anymore. But I mean, she can still, you know, she still goes down the beach and she has a good time and she runs around and she's happy and, you know, that's the main thing. And she's not in pain. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I've seen the photos that Sarah took at the beach. And I was saying to Sarah, it's, nobody says to a dog, no, look, you've lost a leg. You're going to have to take things a bit steady. You know, they just go, I'm in the sea and I'm running. And, you know, they just go at life, full pelt. That's it. Yeah. You know, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, she just like I said, she never really like, well, she stopped swimming a little while ago because she used to get bad ears as well. So she's got, it's like she knew herself. She only ever used to go in and paddle. And
like
the first couple of times we took her, she was a bit wary and stuff. But like we took her yesterday and she was just in and out and just in and out. And like I said, she knows her own limitations. Like if she gets tired, she'll just stop or she'll sit down and she'll tell me that, you know, we need to stop walking or whatever. And
I think that's a
Kind of gets stronger, really. She, you know, when I think to what she could, you know, a few weeks ago to where she is now, she just gets stronger day by day. So,
yeah, bless. I think that's a really important thing, though, that you have expectations, obviously, and there's advice about how you're going to do things, but it's all individual, isn't it? Listen to the dog, and the dog will tell you, I'm happy, or no, I need a bit of a rest, or, you know, whatever it is. Just listen to them and they'll tell you.
Yeah. It's so, I remember saying to the vets, like, so I was dying to just try and get her down at the beach because she did, like, for the first couple of weeks, she was a bit depressed. And because I wasn't, obviously, she wasn't going out at all because, you know, she just needed a rest and whatnot. But she obviously wanted to be out. And then the vet said to me, I said, well, what's, you know, when she is kind of healed and whatever, like, how far can I take her or should I take her? And she said, just let her just go. She'll do whatever she wants, you know, if she wants to go, you know, she'll just, she said, just follow what she's doing. And like I said, she just tells, you know, and like I said, some days she'll go really far and others she'll just be a bit more tired. And but she just lets me know. So
brilliant. I think that's, you know, you need to have a good relationship with any dog, you know, but particularly a dog that's got particular needs. I think that's really even more important than you've got to tune in and kind of listen to what they're saying to you. Definitely. So when you're out and about with Bella, do people notice how do they react?
It's like, it's kind of like having a puppy because everybody stops and they're like, oh, like they'll either stop and say something. Some of them will just be completely like direct and say, oh, what's happened, which I would never dream of going over to somebody and saying that, but obviously everybody's different. Like, and some people are just kind of look and they're like, oh, like they're like, they feel sorry for her. And I'm like, you don't need to feel bad for her. I said, she's fine.
Yeah.
I said, she's quite happy. I said, she's like, and I don't say that in a mean way, but I think the general like consensus is to be like, oh, like the poor thing. And I'm like, well, yeah, but no, like she's fine. She's quite happy. She's still here.
Yeah.
If we didn't do this, she wouldn't be here now. Like, I was saying to Sarah the other day, I think some people are like, not judgmental, but when you, because the majority of people seem to assume that she's had some kind of accident.
Yeah.
You know, which is just obviously it's happened suddenly and then she's, and then you tell them obviously it's cancer and that she's having chemotherapy. And some people are a bit like, they seem a bit surprised, as in like, and it could just be me, but I don't know if they're kind of being a little bit judgmental or thinking, oh, well, you know, like, you're putting her through having three legs and chemo. Why would you do that? And they might not be being like that, but sometimes you can just tell, like...
Yes, yeah.
But... And then I'm just like, well, obviously I wouldn't, but obviously I know me dog, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know I've made, with every fibre of my body, that the right choice for her.
Yeah.
Like, if the right choice for her was to let her go, I would have done that as well, as awful as that might have been for me.
Yeah.
but the right, this was the right thing to do for her. Like,
yeah. No, I totally agree with you that the decision, you know, whatever the decision is to have the operation, to wait, or, you know, whatever it is, you do it for the dog, don't you? It's never for your convenience. It's always for the dog. Absolutely. Totally agree.
Yeah.
You do.
I think people generally are nice, but they're like, you know, I think sometimes they're just a bit like, I guess you don't obviously see many three-legged dogs really, do you? So I think, but yeah, like I said, I think some people's intentions are nice sometimes, and other people just think, oh, like they think, oh, well, you know, why would you bother spending all that money or whatever? And I'm just like,
Yeah.
Again, I know everybody's different. Like, well, I've had insurance for one, but then I also like, I make a point of saying, even if I didn't have insurance, it wouldn't change the outcome because I still would have done the same thing for her.
Yeah.
Because she is, you know, she's my family, like, as long as it's right for her.
Yeah.
And I always make a point of saying that to people as well. I've made the right choice for her because, like, you know, because I think, again, I think people do sometimes think, oh, well, you know, the kindest, you know, I don't know. I think people sometimes assume this, well, why would you keep them alive kind of thing?
Yeah.
When they don't know.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think this is why this project is important, to get those positive messages out there.
Yeah.
So to open up the debate, you know, and sort of say, look, they do have, you know, tripod dogs do have a good standard of living, as long as the decisions have been made with that, you know, with them at the heart, that's great.
Yeah.
But they can have just as happy and healthy a life as they had with that extra, you know, extra leg. So it's fine. And I think that's an important debate to get out there. So
yeah,
you know, thank you ever so much for sharing your story with us, because I think it's really important.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like, I think, and I mean, to be honest, I probably, you know, if I saw a three-legged dog, I'd probably might, you know, I'll second glance, but I'd make sure I wouldn't stare, because you just don't know, do you? But
no, no.
Like, the main thing is I know, and my husband, and, you know, that we've done the right thing for her, which we have. And I mean, I don't even hear her. She's literally sat there snoring. She's quite happy. She's just like, I still sometimes say to my husband, I'm like, I know that she does have a really good quality of life, but I just sometimes need the reassurance. And and he's like, and I say to him, do you think she is happy? And do you think she's, you know, and he's like, he said, of course she is. He said, he said she just loves being here. And so,
yeah. But I think, you see, I think that's an important thing to say as well, that none of these decisions are emotionally clear cut. You know, they're huge decisions. And I think the guilt and insecurity and, you know, it's a really complex thing to make these decisions. Because it's not, you know, even when you say, right, this is good for the, this is would be for the dog's convenience, this would be for my convenience, this is what I'm going to choose. It's all interwoven, and it is really difficult to choose. So I think you do need reassurance, and that, you know, that it is emotionally difficult for you. It just is. So,
I think it's, especially with the chemo side, because that wasn't something that I'd really, I didn't know dogs could have it. I decided on the amputation quite quickly, and then I kind of thought about the chemo for a few days, and I spoke, because it's fortunately, it's only, this veterinary hospital is like 5 minutes from the house, which is, I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was a couple hours away, but it's just handy that it is quite close.
Yeah.
Before I decided, I think I spent, like, the oncologist rang me and I was on the phone for nearly an hour talking about it. Because I think, again, when you say chemo, you think human chemo, which is designed to, like, you know, kill the cancer and, you know, and it sometimes kills it almost kills the humans in the process, because it's that intense, whereas it's, I mean, I can't speak for all dog chemotherapy, but like what she's having is just so minor. It's just a really soft, like, it's purely just to kind of delay the inevitable and just to prolong the cancer a bit. And just, but it's, so generally speaking, like, she's been completely fine.
Yeah.
She's not, it hasn't, you know, like, whereas in humans, like I said, like, you know, it's very debilitating.
Yeah. It's not like that. And you know, I have heard that dogs generally do respond to it better, if you like, more. I mean, they're happier while they're going through chemo, if you like.
It just doesn't have any, there's not really, for her, she's had no side effects, like, at all. Right.
Yeah.
Which
excellent.
And that's kind of exactly what the vet told me, but obviously before, because my first thing was, oh my God, she's going to, I don't want to give her that, and it's going to make a last few months of her life worse. And yeah. He was like, well, no, it's the opposite, basically.
I'm so glad. It sounds like you've got a really supportive vet that's happy to explain things to you, and that's so important as well, isn't it, when you're making these huge decisions. I mean, she sounds lovely, and so sounds like she's got a great personality. Have you got any funny stories about her?
I was thinking about this yesterday when certain things. Well, she used to love playing with balloons, but she can't do that anymore because she'd like jump up at them and batter them. And that was probably one of her favourite things to do, bless her. But she still plays with her ball and stuff. It's not as much a funny story, but I do always say she was meant to be ours, because when our first Labrador passed away, my dad was so upset, and he said we're never getting a dog again, because he was that upset. And we had 5 years between Poppy and Bella, and I literally probably every single day for 5 years I asked for another dog, and he said no every single time because he was too upset. So in the end I just went on the kennel club, started looking, then a few weeks later there was this lady I found because I wanted a bitch. And she'd had a litter, and I rang her up, and she said, I've only got one bitch left, but someone's coming to see her tonight. And I was like, oh, I said, well, you're not going to go and, you wouldn't go and see the puppy and not take the puppy.
Yeah.
And then anyway, the next day the lady rang and she said, oh, this woman came to see her, but she'd only lost her dog a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
And she realised when she got there that it was just too soon.
Yeah.
And then she rang me, and then I literally went and saw her, and then... I didn't get her that day. Obviously, she was still too young. But so, me and my mum always said that she was meant to be our dog, because she nearly went somewhere else and she didn't. So not so much a funny story, but just kind of, how she ended up with us, really, a bit of fate or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely, destined to be with you. I think, and that, you know, that is important. There is no right length of time or way to mourn a dog. Well, to mourn anybody. But, you know, some people go out and get another dog the next day. Some people, that's their dog for life. Some people, you know, like you say, you wait a few years. It's just really, really personal, isn't it? You wait. The time is right. Oh. Is there anything you'd like people to know about life with a three-legged dog? Or maybe if somebody's thinking about, you know, contemplating these decisions you've had to face, or are they looking at adopting a three-legged dog, or any advice for them?
I think it's just not to say not to be judgmental, but just the fact that they can cope, you know, very well, you know, that they're not kind of, I don't know, you might class them as disabled or whatever word you want to use, but they can still pretty much do everything that a dog with four legs can do. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I have thought, because she is quite, you know, she's a very tough, strong-willed dog. So, kind of the minute that they rang and said that she had cancer, but they wanted to do the amputation, I think straight away I knew I wanted to do it, but I wanted to find out more because I knew from knowing her that she would cope really well. But then I have thought, you know, maybe if it was a dog, because, you know, you do meet some dogs that are quite nervous or they get quite anxious. And so, it's not maybe the rest of the right dog decision for every dog. But I think if they have a chance, you know, they can just have a very, not fully normal life, but And I think it's more rewarding now, not more rewarding. Obviously, I love her so much and I've got so many precious memories with her, but I'll get upset now saying that.
Oh, I know.
I think she's taught me so much, just as silly as that sounds.
No, I understand. I understand.
Just about life in general, because dogs, you know, she just kind of,
yeah.
I mean, bless her. She went into the vet happy as Larry one day. Yeah, she was in pain. And then the next day she came out and then she had three legs. And that was a decision that I made for her.
Yeah.
So she had no choice in the matter. But she just coped so well and she just... Sorry.
No, I absolutely just understand.
Kind of I think we can just learn so much from them and
Yeah, definitely.
Just think for other people, it's just... I don't know, I feel like it's more rewarding having a dog with maybe different needs because they're just, you know, I can't really explain myself.
I know what you mean. No, I know what you mean. Our Labrador had a degenerative spine condition. And it was just, I think when the days kind of, in the words of the song, when the days dwindle down, I'm going to go now. But when it becomes clear, when it becomes clear that the days are more, you know, the days are always numbered, aren't they? But when the days, when you've got fewer days left, they do become more precious. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, I think this is important to share as well, because we love our dogs. You know, they do sit in that special part of your heart, and you do worry yourself sick over them, and you do mourn them, you know, and you do. And it's really, really important, I think, to share this. If for other dog lovers, they know this already, but if you've never loved a dog like this, you know, I'm sorry, you've missed out, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really intense, and it's ups and downs, but it's all worth it. But it is really, really an intense experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's like, I think, like I said, it's taught me a lot, just in terms of, like, I guess just like just dogs in general, and just like, I think if I go off to have however many dogs that never had any issues, you know, great. But I'll never ever like forget her and all the stuff that like I've gone through with her, like, because you just think, you know, you doubt yourself. Some, like, you know, like, so when I was doubting, have I done the right thing? Because she never kind of came back from the vet, and she wasn't ever crying in pain or anything like that. She was so brave, but it was just, I think it was more hard for me seeing her, like, especially when she had her scar, and it was all, because it looked hideous when she first came home, because she had no fur, and I thought, oh God, what have I done to the poor thing? And just every day she just kind of, just her spirit, and I want to be here, do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. That, I think that's it, and you put yourself, the psychological aspect of it is harder, I think, than the just the sheer physical hard work of looking after them. The mill that you put yourself through is hard. And of course the dog doesn't do that. And that's definitely something I've learned from dogs, is just be in the moment, think, can I cope with now? That's great. Then, okay, I'll worry about tomorrow. I will do today, and I'll have as much fun as I can.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's it. Just like, I think I said, even if, God forbid, like, you know, if something had happened to her, like, I don't know, you know, whenever, like, not long after having her surgery, like, or whenever, like, I'll never regret.
Yes, yeah.
Giving her this chance, because, you know, I know that she's not in pain, and she's just having a nice time, and she's enjoying her life still, and that's what it's about.
That is indeed what it's all about, enjoying life as much as possible, as long as possible. You can see Sarah Loveland's portraits of Bella and all the Tripod Superdogs at sarahloveland.com, and look out for the hashtag Tripod Superdogs on social media. Hear more from Julie at dogcastradio.com. Tripod Superdogs, a celebration of three-legged dogs.